Well, for those of you who have not been here the last few Wednesday nights, we're in Romans chapter 12. And we just are on verse 2, and we're talking about, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I plead with you, I beg you, I urge you to present your bodies or give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or it's the way we worship God as we present ourselves to him. And then in verse 2, he says, don't copy, don't pattern yourself. Don't think like the patterns of this world. Don't be conformed. It's really one of the words it uses often, which means to be pressed into. Don't be pressed into the thinking of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what? You can know the will of God, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so we've been talking about that for a couple weeks, a little bit about what it means to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable. That we want to be holy and acceptable to God. We want to be an acceptable sacrifice. In the Old Testament sacrifice system, there was acceptable sacrifices and unacceptable sacrifices. In fact, we have a big story about that in the Bible, about Cain and Abel. Remember, that was what their battle was about, was whether a sacrifice was acceptable or not. And so one brother actually wound up killing another brother because of that acceptableness or lack thereof of a sacrifice. And so we see that throughout the Bible, really, even before the sacrificial system was built, the law, we had that same kind of idea. We bring to God an acceptable sacrifice. And in this case, God wants us to be that acceptable sacrifice. We live a life that's acceptable to God. And so the way we do that is we don't allow ourselves to be patterned in or conformed to the thinking of this world. Now, I just want to say one more time, this it's very important to me to get this point across, that this world system has a whole way to think. And I'm going to tell you, for the most part, is completely contrary to the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some good thoughts out there and some positive things that people say and do and all of that thing. I'm going to talk about that. Really talking about a way of thinking that causes your actions to be construed or fixed out. Now, you know, everybody kind of knows this, I think, that Every action really starts with a thought. Every action begins with a thought. You think something and you do it. Now sometimes that thought into action happens very quickly, almost so quickly that you don't know whether it was your thought first or the action first. Because we have some things that are just natural, like eating that cake or pie or whatever you're eating. I mean, you don't really have to go, I think I'll take my fork, stick it in the cake, put it in my mouth. It happens very naturally, doesn't it? Now, if it does for you as much as it does for me, you're in trouble. I don't have to think that through very much. Yeah, as you lick the frosting off. Yeah, that's really who we are. That's what we are. We can do certain things like that. But there's this whole thinking process that this world has to offer. Somebody asked me today on Facebook, they asked me who I thought I should vote for, who I thought would be the best candidate for president. And so I began to share what I felt about the different candidates and some different things. And all you'd have to do is kind of take a little perusal through that debate last night, just even the first half hour or so of it, and you'd realize real quick that there are different mindsets or worldview thinking of those two candidates. I'm not going to say that either one of them are absolutely perfect, okay? But I'm going to tell you that they are completely opposed worldviews. Their worldview, the way they see the world, the way they present the world, the way they talk about the world, it's different. And if you listen to the way they answer questions, the way they approach a question, they're very different. Why? Because they have a different mindset, a different worldview. And we have, obviously, in our world, a very strong kind of way of thinking. And how many of you have ever heard something that was so opposed to what you believed, you just had to go, whoa? Have you ever had to do that? Well, once a day. It's like there are some things, you know, you just kind of let it go. And even if you don't maybe kind of agree with it, it just kind of. But there are sometimes somebody will say something and you go, whoa, that won't go past me, because it opposes your view or your way of thinking. Well, we all have those things in our life and those values. And so we have a way to think. We have a way that we should think. Well, Paul is telling us, don't be pressed into the mold of thinking like this world thinks. And it's not hard, really, if you just look at it open-mindedly. It's not hard to come up with an idea of what the world views are. I could name a bunch of things right now. I'll just choose not to. But there are a lot of things that Christians do that are just exactly like the world. And no matter how much we can read 2 Corinthians 6 and 7, where it says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, touch no unclean thing, and all that, we still do things that are crazy. The Bible tells in 2 Corinthians 6 that what kind of relationship, what kind of relationship does God have with Belial, or the devil, really? What? There's no relationship, is there? It's completely opposed to one another. What fellowship have with light and darkness? They don't fellowship. You can't fellowship light and darkness. You turn the lights off, it's dark. You turn them on, it's light. There's no fellowship with that. And so Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we need to come out from among the world's thinking and the way it is in our world. And yet we still, as Christians, many times just fall into the flow. We get conformed. We get pressed into the mold of what this world has to say and the way it operates. So we need to be very, very careful with it. And what I want to encourage you to do is really learn to put a guard on your mind. Philippians chapter 4 tells us there are some things. Verse 8 tells us some things that we should be thinking about. It has a list of things. I'm not going to go through that list tonight because that's not my study. But you can mark that in your Bible or write that scripture down, Philippians 4:8. And it literally gives us the list of things we should be thinking about. Things that are lovely and praiseworthy and all that. He says, think about these things. And so if Paul gives us specific things to think about in God's word, don't you think we ought to maybe look at that list and kind of think what those might be? And here, he's not giving us a list exactly, but he's saying, don't be conformed. Don't be pressed into the mold of this world's thinking. Well, it's really easy in our world today to be conformed. And it's not because you don't love Jesus or you're not a good Christian. Seems like every single movie, every single TV show, every single book that people pick up off the shelf to read. I see sometimes people reading books and I think, are you kidding? You're spending your whole time reading that book that thick about nonsense when you could be spending time in God's Word or even reading another book that's about the Word of God. At least we fill our minds with all kinds of stuff and then we wonder why we think like the world. I mean, it's crazy. And even real good shows, kind of nice good shows can have stuff in it, just little things in it. It doesn't have to all be bad. Some of it can just be kind of just a little bit off, and we sometimes will miss it. Back a lot of years ago now, when I lived in California, I received a set of, actually this is how long ago it was, they were VHS tapes, and this was back when VHS tapes were brand new. And I got them from a ministry that was overseen by Reverend Sung Mung Moon. Anybody remember him? What do you remember about him? The Moonies, what? Yeah, okay. What else? Anybody remember, huh? No, that's Dr. Cho, Young-gi Cho. This is Reverend Sung Mung Moon. He was the guy, if you remember, if you were old enough, some of you guys are not even old enough, probably weren't even born yet. He did these mass weddings. Remember? those of you who have been around a little while, they did this real, I mean, they'd have like thousands of couples at one time. They'd do this one big mass wedding for all these people. And he was like kind of like some of those churches out there in the world today that are a little off in their message, that he was wanting to get accepted into the mainline Christian group. This guy was completely off base, okay? Just completely out of the scriptures. So he sent these VHS tapes to pastors all over the world, and his whole purpose was that the mainline church, the main Christian churches like, you know, like Baptist and Presbyterian and Lutherans and Foursquare people like I grew up in, and Assemblies of God, and all those groups would accept him as a part of the body of Christ, is what his goal was. So my friend Jeff and I, we throw one of these videos in the tape player. And this guy comes on. It's not Reverend Moon. It was one of his teachers. He comes on there and he starts talking. And what he was saying sounded very, very, very Christian-like. I mean, it did. It sounded very, very good and not off base. And I wasn't using these scriptures at that point. But he was just kind of talking nice Christian terminology. It was good. I mean, nothing he was saying was all that bad. And then all of a sudden, he just says something as completely off the wall. I mean, I can't even remember what it was now. It was like, are you kidding me? He just said that completely against the word of God. Absolutely, completely against. But the man said it in the exact same tone, the same way that he kind of handled himself. He was a good speaker, very gifted person, you know, as far as speaking was concerned. And he just said it just like matter-of-factly. It's just da-da-da-da. And it's like, if you weren't paying attention, you would just have gone right past that. And I ripped that thing out of that player. I'm not watching another one of these things. There's no way I'm going to open my mind to this mess. I'm just not going to do it. So we threw him away. We threw him right in the trash. Didn't even send him back to him. Just sent him right in the trash. Because it was garbage. Now, you guys listen to me. That's how we're affected by the thinking of this world through television and through movies and through books and things. It's not some off-the-wall person saying something. It's actors and people that we enjoy the way that they present. And sometimes the lines in their movies or their television shows or whatever are said in such a funny, kind of open way that we just kind of buy into the thinking. It's just kind of normal. In fact, there's a show out, I've not seen it, something about the new normal. And I've seen a couple of commercials about it. And the whole idea is to try to get us as people to accept these really out of character, really, I think, unbiblical relationships as just kind of the new normal. It's kind of the normal. We have to be very, 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 very careful with those kinds of things. Because though it's all, you know, wrapped up in humor and funny little episodes and little things, in the middle of that is some truths that are trying to be taught that are not truth at all. They're ungodly. And we may catch them and we may not by virtue of how well-versed we are in the Word, first of all, and second, how well we are able to kind of pay attention to it from that standpoint. Now, it's kind of sad, isn't it, that we have to watch TV thinking like that, thinking like, man, somebody might try to slip something in my head I don't want. But you know what? You really do. That's what it means to put a guard on your mind. Think about these things. Think. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, think about these things. So if you got that list, I would recommend if you're going to watch television or you're going to go to movies, I'd suggest you make a list of those things with their definition, what they mean, and put them on the wall next to your television. Or put them on a little card and have them in your purse or your wallet or pocket, and you're watching a movie and anything's lovely or you know, whatever. Think about these things. And if it's not, then get the heck out of Dodge. Now, I've walked out of more than one movie, and they're costly. Have you gone to the movie lately? It's expensive to get in the place, and then it's really expensive if you stop at that place in the middle. You know what place I'm talking about? And you get in there with your big bucket of popcorn and your large diet Dr. Pepper, because that's what I get. And you get to watching that movie, and the next thing you know, I'll just not worry about that thought. And next thing you know, the guard comes down, and all of a sudden, we're thinking about things we shouldn't be thinking about. Now, I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I'm just trying to tell you, we've got to be careful what we let go into our mind. Because what goes into our mind becomes our thoughts. What becomes our thoughts becomes our motor, and then becomes our action. And the next thing you know, we'll be doing things that the world's doing as a Christian, going, everybody's doing this. Well, everybody may be doing it, but everybody may be going to hell too, okay? So we've got to recognize that we have a responsibility with our mind to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let the metamorphosis happen, he says. Let this change happen where you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we began to get our mind renewed. What do you think that might mean, renewed? Anybody got a little shot at what a renewed mind might mean? Okay, retrained. All right, good. What else? Okay, daily in the Word. Yeah, so that you have the wherewithal, the tools to recognize the things that are coming at us. Absolutely, sure. What else? What do you think that renewed mind would be? How would you define that, or what do you think that might be?
In the natural sense, it doesn't work. You can't make something new again.
Okay. So what has to happen then?
Well, like Madonna said, it's a spiritual thing, but you can't, not all things are possible, but you can't, something that's new, once it's been used, it's no longer new.
Okay.
Makes new again,
all right. So there's a process that has to happen. Yeah. What did somebody say over here?
Refreshed,
okay. Well, this word renewed is only used four times in the New Testament. Twice at the Mount of Transfiguration where, you know, remember when Jesus went up with Peter, James, and John to the mountain and Moses and Elijah and Jesus are transfigured before them. And I got to see that mountain. It's really cool. And then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and then here. 2 Corinthians 3:18 renders the word changed. And here it's the word renewed. And so from those kind of instances of this word, we get the idea of how believers can gain insight in how to live this transfigured life, this transformed or changed life. Jesus was transfigured right before Peter, James, and John. Remember what Peter said? Anybody? Just a side note here. He said, this is really cool, right? What did he say to do? Let's just build three tabernacles right here and just stay right. Well, man, this is good. How many of you know we didn't stay there? Well, we moved on, right? But the transfiguration, that work that they saw, was very important, where the glory of the Lord began to shine through them. And then all of a sudden, the understanding of this indwelling Christ that begins to control or operate believers' entire being, so that we can become people who reflect His glory. The transformation of our mind is really understanding that work that God comes to do as He indwells in us, and He begins to help us be a reflector of the glory of God, that we are literally transformed. And Kenton's right, we cannot be made new again, especially by ourselves. But there is a transformational process that God can come and do inside our mind when we allow Him to work through His Word, like what Donna was saying, where we begin to allow the Word to just begin to wash away the stuff of this world. Now, I'm going to tell you, in direct proportion that we are putting the Word into our hearts and into our minds, the same direct proportion you put it in, the direct proportion, it's going to start coming out in the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think and act. If you're going to put one verse in your mind every day, but you're going to read 72 pages of the latest romance novel, guess which one's going to have more effect on the way you act or think or talk? Okay? Now, I believe the word of God is alive and active and is sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It pierces asunder the soul and spirit, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is alive. It's active. It's like going to the very core of our being and cutting away the things that needs to be cut away. So when we delve into the word of God and really began to meditate and think about, operate in the word of God, guess what it does? It begins to cut out that stuff that has gotten into our mind that's operating, that's worldly. We need that happening a lot. Now, I'm not picking on romance novels. I just use that as an example. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of that stuff is that. It's just stuff, and that's not the way you spell it. It's just junk. It's just should go in the. Okay, sorry. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm not picking on it, but I'm just saying be careful, because that's the way we're going to begin to think. We're going to think people respond that way. In other words, if I do this, what the character in the book does, then the person that I'm trying to meet or be with or whatever is going to respond this way. Not necessarily. See, and so we get this wrong idea of what the mind is about. And so we've got to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying, listen, please hear me well. I'm not saying that you're more godly or more Christian if you read 14 chapters of the Bible or only read two, that you're not quite as good a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that quantity is always the issue. But let me just tell you something. If you can read a scripture in the morning, one verse or a chapter or two or a section, and you walk away from it and you can't remember by the evening because you haven't mulled over it in your mind and meditated on it and so forth, then you're not allowing that to get in you to transform you. Okay? Now you say, well, I have a bad memory. I'm not talking about memorizing. I'm not talking about, but the spirit of the word you can get, can't you? Now there's scriptures that I know by memory. I've quoted three of them tonight. I can quote certain scriptures because I've gone over them so many times and all that. But I can't quote the whole Bible. But when I read the scripture in the morning or whenever I'm reading the scripture throughout the day, I read it with the idea of it coming and doing something in me. I recognize that this book contains the very words of the living God of the universe. And so when I read it, I'm not just reading it like a novel or something. I'm reading it as though the God of heaven was speaking to me. So I may not be able to quote the verse word for word by the night, but I can tell you what he worked in me that day because I've been in the word. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not just trying to get you to memorize scripture, though that's not a bad idea, by the way. But it's really more than memorization. It's really letting the word of God work in me, create in me something new, something fresh. How many of you have ever read a scripture that you've read maybe a lot of times and saw something in that scripture you never saw before when you read it in the other times? That's the incredible thing about God's word. It's like a diamond. It has all these many facets. And every time you look at it, you see it from a different perspective because you're at a different place. It didn't change. You just see things that you never saw before because the flash of the diamond comes from a different place. You see a different facet. And all of a sudden you go, man, where was that? I know Diane used to say, and I found this to be true for me too, that when you read the Word of God versus, by the way, it's my birthday, so I can just preach, okay? I can ask you questions if I want, but I just got some preaching in me today. It's my birthday. So at any rate, Diane, you know, she'd read the Bible, and sometimes she'd struggle making it through reading it, stuff. But then she would put her CDs in the car on the way to work and listen to it, and she would hear things she never saw when she read it. And vice versa. When she'd read it, she'd see things she didn't hear. So we're like, we need that. We need to find different ways. I encourage people to read the Bible out loud together. Hear somebody read the Bible out loud. And try to make it a fun experience, something that you can do and enjoy. It's very, very important that we become people of the Word. It's very important. Now, I know this to be true. I know a lot of people in here are more busy than I am. But I don't think there's very many people in here a lot more busy than I am. So we can find time for the Word if we want to. We can't. We can find time for the Word if we want to. If we want to, we'll find time to do it. I found this about human nature, about my own nature, by the way. If I want to do something bad enough, I'll find time to do it. I will. Now, today, I came to the church in time to be here a little early before Crown Ministries get everything turned on and all of that. I'd been reading the Word this morning and praying and getting ready for my day. And then I got here, I don't remember what time, 10 o'clock or something. And so I got here and, you know, getting set up and getting some things done. And my Facebook thing's been blowing up all day with happy birthday stuff from everybody. And I know some of you are really good at that, just at the end of the day going, thank you for everybody that said happy birthday to me. But I have this really weird thing about me that I feel like I need to respond to each person personally. So it takes all day for me just to do. And so I'm always saying something back, you know. Somebody says to me, be blessed. I say, I received that blessing. You know, I mean, I just talk right back to them. It's not, I don't know. It's just me. It's just who I am. But anyway, so I've been doing that all day on my phone, wherever I've been, and this and that, doing a lot of stuff. And when I came to Crown Ministries, I thought, we've got a guest speaker, a person that's going to come and give a presentation. So what will happen probably is we'll just, you know, hear the presentation and everybody kind of get up, clean up, and go home. But we didn't. Now, I brought my bag today to go to the YMCA. I never got there. I had an intention to do that, but I never got there because our Crown Ministry discussion went a lot longer. And then the next thing you know, it's time for church, our staff meeting and then church. And so, you know, I've just been going all day long, just like you have. But in my heart is still this work of the Word from this morning. And a couple of times in conversations, I've quoted parts or thoughts of that verse to people all day long, just as the day goes by and the verses that I focused on in my journaling. So the thing that I'm going to just encourage you to do is be in the Word every day. Transformation really is the idea of God renewing our mind through something that's going through there, like the cleansing of the water of the Word Ephesians talks about. We're cleansing out stuff that we've allowed to get in our mind, and we're replacing it with something that's fresh and new. And I think you said to be refreshed. That's the idea, is that we want to be refreshed and renewed as God's kids. Now, it's possible to have a renewed mind because Paul wouldn't have said it. The Word of God wouldn't proclaim it if it wasn't possible. But is it possible by doing nothing? That's not possible. The renewing of your mind comes as we begin to present ourselves to God. And we're not allowed to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing process of our mind. And then we can know what the will of God is, which we were talking about last week a little bit. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about it tonight. This scripture gives us three descriptions, three words that describe the will of God. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, some translations use a couple different words, but it's basically means the same. So the term here for the will of God, the terms that it's used here, it's that kind of idea of God wanting to give us something through this renewed mind that we've been working on, His will. And I said this last week, and I'll say it again. The number one question I get in my life, other than marriage issues in the counseling office, The number one question I get is, how can I know the will of God? How can I know what God's will is? Well, that's a big question, isn't it? Does anybody have that question? Yeah. Do you ever want to know what the will of God is? Well, the will of God, as I said last week, comes ultimately through the Word of God. Because the will of God comes through this inspired will or word. I was just telling somebody this week about a thing called replacement. Now, in some popular psychology, replacement therapy would be something like if you are having a bad thought, you might think about a beach or, you know, sand and blue waters and something that maybe you've seen or would like to be at. And I guess that's okay if you want to do that. Ultimately, that's going to go away and the thoughts are going to come back. But how about us learning to replace bad thoughts with good thoughts? Not just good thoughts, but word thoughts. So here's what we have to do. We have to learn how to change our self-talk by, instead of just talking about, man, if I could just have a vacation, I'd just like to get out of town for a while. Man, I'm just so tired. If I could just go to the beach, if I could just go on a cruise, if I could, thank you, Caleb, for that. If I could just, you know, get to the ocean. Some people like to go to the ocean. How many like the ocean? I do. I love the ocean. How many of you like mountains? Anybody mountains here? Oh, I love the mountains. They're beautiful. I get to go, by the way, in the first week in December, thanks to these guys over here. What's your names? Dan and Ellen. Dan and Ellen made that available. Thank you guys so much for that. And I'm looking forward to it. I remember right after my mom passed away, I went to Colorado and I flew to Denver and I got a rental car and I went on up into the mountains. And it was a beautiful area. It was not quite time for skiing yet. It was still a little early, or at least there wasn't any snow, let's put it that way. But there were ski slopes around where I was. So I went up and I was just alone with the Lord, and I was just spending time with God, and it was really good. And I really thought God was going to meet me like in my condo, you know, when I was alone in prayer and all that stuff. But what happened was, is I went back, I drove back down the mountain through the pass down to see some other sites that I wanted to see before I went on up to some higher places that I wanted to go. And so I drove down through there and I went to the sites that I wanted to see. And as I was going back up the mountain, I'm right in the middle of this pass. Now, I'm not real experienced of driving in the mountains, you know, though I've done it a number of times. It's not like something I do every day, but, you know, so I'm paying attention. And I got Phil Driscoll on because this car had one of them things where you put the cord in my iPod, is before my iPhone. I had my Phil Driscoll stuff on. And all of a sudden, I'm driving up through the mountains. I'm just beautiful, you know, but I'm paying attention to the road, you know, like this. This song comes on. I'm singing along with Phil Driscoll, a little gravelly like that, you know. And so I'm going along. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Spirit of the Lord came into that car. And it's like overwhelming, just kind of, I felt like I was going to like go out in the Spirit or something. It's like, oh my God, the glory of the Lord has filled this car. I pulled off the road and I got out of this car and I'm standing on the side of this mountain and I'm just praising God. I mean, I've just gone through this time of losing my mom, and my mom's wish was for me to do her funeral. And so I preached the funeral and I tried to spend a little time alone after that, getting through the grieving. It just didn't work. I needed to get away. So I'm here. And all of a sudden this breakthrough comes. And it's like the Lord just broke through in me. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'm standing on the side of this mountain. It's just like a drop off over here. And I'm just standing outside this car. I've turned the music up and I'm just worshiping God. People are driving by me and they're honking and they're, you know, making noises and they're wondering what this idiot is doing at this little pull off thing. And I just, oh God. I mean, there was such a breakthrough for me. And I'm going to tell you that those kind of breakthroughs, you don't have to go to the mountains to get. All you have to do is get alone with God a little bit each day and allow him to renew your mind. And then as I got back up to the condo that day, I began to write out some of the things God wanted me to do in the next few years. Some of the things from my personal life that I'm still working on to this day, even though that was about six, almost 7 years ago. And I just remember the refreshing of the Lord and how quick after that the will of God came and how clear and concise it was for some things that I needed to be working on. And so I just want you to know that you don't necessarily need the mountains and you don't necessarily need Phil Driscoll, but what you do need is this understanding of who God is. And I remember as I was driving up that mountain before that happened, I was just thinking about how incredible God must be to be able to make these mountains like this. I mean, this big cavern on this side, I'm looking down, it's like forever down there. If you fell off that in your car, you'd be toast forever, you know? And I'm looking, I think God must have just put his finger right through there or something and said, that's got to be like a valley there. And, you know, here's a mountain right here. I mean, just the awesomeness of God's creation. And I was just overwhelmed by him. It was like the Spirit of the Lord is like the glory of the Lord rested in this car. And it wasn't the most opportune time because, honestly, that's not really safe, you know, to have the glory of the Lord fill your car when you're driving up a mountain. But, boy, the Lord just came. And I cannot tell you that's the only time that's happened. But I can tell you that was one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had with the Lord. And as I put it together in my mind, as I began to try to figure it out, what I started doing is I started realizing that just prior to the trip down the mountain, I had spent a considerable amount of time just planting the Word of God in my life, in my mind, just reading the Word. I wasn't studying. I wasn't writing a sermon. I was just reading the Word. I wasn't reading a book about the Word. I was reading the Word. I just read a lot. I just let the Word of God just be in me. And I'll never forget that happened. And sometimes we try to wait for maybe an experience like that. And I love those experiences, don't you? But how many of you know the transformation of our mind happens daily? Just like what Donna said, when we're in the Word daily. Just daily we're in the Word. And we're meditating on the Word day and night. But David said, I meditate on the Word day and I hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. How do we keep our mind from sinning and allowing our body to be sin captive? We get the Word in there. I hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I tell you, I don't want to sin against God, do you? Well, I don't. I hope you say no. We do, unfortunately. Thank God for repentance. But I can tell you that in my experience that the will of God, the understanding of his will, opens up so much more easy when we've allowed the renewal of the Word to come into our mind. It also releases another thing, which is I wanted to share a few minutes about tonight. It also releases the power of the Holy Spirit into you in such a different way. His Word has this way of just opening the power of the Spirit. And knowing the will of God is one thing, but knowing it really by the power of the Spirit is something amazing. When God just opens like a vision or an idea that you're to do. Have you ever gotten one of those things? I mean, it's like you got a thought and you got, where did that come from? Anybody in here ever had one of those? It's like, are you kidding? It's a great idea. I wish I'd really come up with it. So then all of a sudden you start telling somebody about it and they go, man, that's a great idea. You're so cool. You're so right on. You go, yeah, I'm just so right on. But it didn't come from you, you know? And you got to just say, well, the Lord, you know, showed me. And I just am so amazed at how by the Spirit, he just opens my mind to see his will, his purpose. This happens with me. I don't know how it happens in you, but maybe you can share with that in a minute. But this happens with me on kind of a daily basis. I'm doing counseling a lot and so I'm sitting in a room and I'm talking with somebody and, you know, all of a sudden I'm just sitting there listening or I'm talking or whatever. And all of a sudden it'll just be like, whoop, and the Holy Spirit will just come and reveal something. It's just like, it's there. And I see it as like it's written on a piece of paper sometimes, just as clear as a bell. And I'll just say to the person, have you ever thought about this? And they'll go, how'd you know? There's no way you could have known that. But the Holy Spirit can show you. And so sometimes counseling is by the book and learned and training and experience. But sometimes, you know, when we're touching other people's lives, we need the power of the Spirit. And he just opens our eyes to see something that we could have never known on our own. And that happens so often that it just overwhelms me. And somebody will just go, how'd you know? What? Where did that come from? I mean, you couldn't have known this. I've never told anybody this. And so in those times, it's just wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is there to open our mind to see. Now, here's the problem that most of us struggle with about knowing the will of God, and I'll talk about that a little bit more and we'll be done. The Bible says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and don't let that man think or consider, is kind of the idea of the word, that they're going to receive anything from God. Now, you might by his grace, right? But if you're double-minded, you're not going to receive anything from God. You can't, at least you can't expect it. So let's talk a little bit about what double-minded might mean. Now, we talk about the renewal of our mind. That's what we're talking about here. What do you think double-minded means?
Good and bad.
Good and bad? Okay. What else? Double-minded.
Huh? Knowing,
knowing something to do right and then just doing a different thing. Okay. What else?
Trying to have it both ways.
Okay. Having it both ways. What's somebody say?
That's what she said,
kind of being lukewarm. Yeah. Revelation says, spew you out of my mouth, spit you up, vomit you out. Right. You ever touch puke? It's lukewarm. You don't want to touch it. And so it's just gross, but it's true. That's from my youth preaching days. That came out because I'm 56 today, okay? Free of charge. Won't even charge you for that one. It's empty. It's true, though. Just try it sometime. Anyway, what about some other things? What do you think double-minded means? Anybody else? Well, it's a kind of a crazy word, isn't it? Because it almost like, how can you be double-minded? I mean, how can you be thinking two things at exactly the same time or two ways at the same time? Well, double-minded means those things that you said. It's this kind of thing where we are just half in and half out, half on with God. I mean, when it's convenient, when it's good, when I'm in church or when I'm with the people that kind of believe that way, I just kind of go that way with the word. And then when I'm with the other people or I'm just all by myself or something, then I go over here and I'm just not, you know, it's not that I deny that. I'm just over here doing something else. And we can do that really easy without really thinking about it. And by the way, it doesn't always look like this and this. Sometimes it looks like that. Yeah, I don't want to do it again. I didn't get to work out today, so I'm going to do my... Say it again? Yeah. Well, sometimes we just are seeing life. We don't do it. I don't think most of us in this room, at least, would do it on purpose. But sometimes we just become chameleons. We just become like the people we're around. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't get mad at me, but it's true, isn't it? We're kind of over here with these guys talking about the word. Man, we're right in there. We're saying our thoughts. We're doing it. Yeah, we're right there. Yeah. And then, you know, sometime later, the guys are over here doing this or doing that. And we're just kind of like going with it. And that's not maybe all bad, but it's just like not quite where we need to really be in our mind. That's what double-minded kind of means. It's just that double-minded way of thinking. And we need to be really, really careful that when our mind is being renewed, part of that renewal process is that God takes that double-mindedness away. And now all of a sudden, the things that we're talking about like here, all of a sudden have to penetrate this over here. If I walk into any situation, because I'm a pastor for the most part, the situation will change. Almost every time. It's a little bit odd. It's a little bit weird to me, but it does. You know, I remember early in ministry, back when people used to preach against things, you know, so hard, and maybe people still do, and maybe I just lost it. But, you know, people get up on the pulpit and then bang, don't smoke, bang, don't drink, bang, you know, and you're like, yeah. And, you know, you just felt so bad if you did. I remember going to these people's house one night, and I hate house calls. I do it when I have to, but I usually always try to take somebody with me so they can ring the door. But I can't. I'm fine when I'm inside, and I'm fine when I'm outside. But boy, that thing is like my roller coaster ride. I just don't like it. I don't like it, and it just is uncomfortable because my family never did that when I was growing up. We didn't go to anybody's house. My buddy across the street and I, we hung out together, but pretty much that was it. We didn't go every once in a while on a special day. We would go to my cousin's house, and it was weird going in, you know, and knocking and all. We go to my grandmother's house, of course, a little more often. It wasn't quite as weird there because it was a little more often, but I just never did that. So going up to somebody's house and knocking on the door, it's like, oh, man, what if they're doing something, you know? I mean, so I walked up to this one house. I'll never forget, as long as I live, it's one of my favorite stories of all time. And they had this big window in their front door, which is not a great idea, by the way. I mean, just think about it. You don't want a big window in your front door. Maybe a little window or an opaque window or something, whatever. They just had this big window in their door. So I just walked up and I knocked on the door. And I didn't really mean to look. I'm just standing there looking at this glass. And I'm watching as these people, here's what they did. All of a sudden, ashtrays went, shoo. All these other things went over here. And the next thing you know, you see, shh. Because just like I could see them, they could see Pastor Ron on the porch. Now, I would, you know, obviously I have asthma, so cigarette smoke might bother me if I was in it. But honestly, I wouldn't judge anybody or make anybody feel bad about that. But they felt bad about it. So they're just, you know, so I come in. Finally, they open the door. Oh, hi, Pastor Ron. See? Yeah. And I said, hi, how you doing? He said, well, come on in, you know. This was a long time ago. So when I sat down on the couch, it was before the back problem days, and I sat down on the couch, it kind of went down to the floor, you know, and I just noticed the ashtray didn't quite get under there. Just to help him out, I just kind of popped it under there a little bit further. I just didn't want him to be sitting there the whole time looking at my feet, wondering if I'm noticing. I just got it out of the way right away. You know, I'm not picking on cigarette smoking. What I'm saying is that we need to just recognize that every situation we walk into, we need to make a difference in that situation. This is a true story. Okay, I did a wedding one week many years ago. It was here in the city, but it wasn't somebody in the church. I did a wedding, and it was a nice wedding, and they didn't have the reception here. They had the reception at a golf course over right behind where Olive Garden is. You know that golf course is right back there. I couldn't remember the name of it. Willow Creek, yeah. And I always think about playing that golf course when I go over there. But anyway, and so I found it, got it back there, and, you know, I walk into the reception. They want me to come, you know. And so, you know, they have the first dance and all that. And there's a couple little toasts and things. And I drank my Dr. Pepper because they got some in a can for me or something. And so I'm drinking, and they're doing champagne. I'm doing Diet Dr. Pepper and all that stuff. And they got this DJ, and he's like going at it, you know, with the songs and the different things and all the little events. And then they cut the cake, and I didn't have any cake, but I waited for the cutting of the cake. And then I could just tell, you know, you can just tell that you need to kind of exit. I mean, you know what I mean? Not anything bad. They didn't do anything bad. I just timed them for me to go. So I went around, and as Diane knows, she's done this dance with me so many times. I walk around, and I say bye to the bride and the groom and their parents and everybody. Thank you so much for everything, and God bless you guys. And literally, I walked out the door, and I got about five steps down the sidewalk, and the music went louder, and I could hear people laughing, and just it changed because I left. I don't like that. I want people to act the same around me everywhere I am. But I want you to know that it's important that your life, the way you live, what you stand for, what you talk about, what's in your mind should change your situation. If you're walking into a situation, it should have an effect. Now, I'm not asking anybody to hide anything or say anything different, but there's a certain respect people have around me where they don't use certain words. Now, some people don't. Some people don't care. But most people do. There's just a respect for who I am. Now, I know it's because I'm a pastor, okay? But I think we should live a life that has that kind of impact wherever we go. That when we walk into a situation, people know what we stand for. I asked a young man. I told you about him. He came to my office. They wanted premarital counseling. He said, I don't believe in God. First thing out of the hat. I said, okay. He said, but you've got to be smart enough to know that if you're coming to a pastor's office, you're going to hear the word, and you're going to have prayer, and you're going to hear a lot about Jesus Christ. You understand that that's not a curse word? That's the Jesus that I serve. And you know that, right? You sit down. If you're going to sit down and talk to me, you're going to talk about Jesus. That's just the way it is. And I'm not being mean, but he was just so abrupt about what he didn't believe in and all that stuff. So I was just abrupt about what I do believe in. You say, well, shouldn't you just be more nice? Well, honestly, I'm not in the wedding business, so I don't care about being nice. It's not about being nice to me. It's about seeing transformed lives. Now, I am nice most of the time. Am I? Yeah. Alex and Mike are. Except on my birthday, yeah. Alex and Mike are coming now, right now for premarital counseling. I just love it. We have a great time in there and got a couple sessions left. And I love those times together with those couples. And even the couple that the guy said didn't believe in God were really good times. I mean, we laughed together. We talked together. We opened our hearts together and so on. But at the end of the day, I believe that young man is going to come to know Jesus at some point in his life because the seeds have been planted. I want what I do to make a difference. Now, I never did get to the will of God thing, so I guess I'll have to do that next week a little bit more. But this renewal of the mind thing is so important to me because it is the avenue into knowing God's will. Many times we do not know God's will because we've not allowed God to renew our mind through his word. Because the Bible is the revealed word of God. It is ultimately the will of God. Anything that you hear that you think is God must line up with this. Okay? Anything that you think that you should be doing, you need to find it in here. We're talking about replacement a while ago. When a thought comes in your mind that's not of God, find a replacement. Okay? Find something from God's word and replace it. In other words, if you're starting to feel down about yourself, maybe you think I'm ugly or I'm fat or I'm thin or I'm whatever, then look at the word and hear what the word is. Replace those thoughts with these kind of thoughts. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Before the foundations of the world, God knew me and formed me in my mother's womb. He created me for his good works. Think about this. The Bible says you are the poema, the work of art of the God of the Creator, the universe of the universe. You are his literal masterpiece. Did you know that? That is so incredible what God's word says about us. And that's only about five verses all kind of tied together of about 100 or 120 verses that you can find that are directly related to how God sees us. And if there's any one thing I know about Christians across the board, is we need to have a better view of how God sees us. Did you know that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation? You are chosen by the God of the universe. If you're a Christian, you are a child of the living God of heaven. We're not talking about some religious experience. We're talking about the God of the universe that said, let there be light. There was light. He loves you. That's crazy. People tell us we're crazy to believe that somehow the God that created all this would have any idea at all that he would even have a feeling towards us. But I want you to know that the Bible says he knows how many hairs are on your head, that not one sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't know about it, that he knows what you need before you ask him, before you can even say out your mouth, I need this, God. God already knows, and he's sending the answer. God is not hesitant. He's not holding back from his kids. God loves his kids, and he wants to give them the desires of their heart. But how many of you know he wants our desires to be godly? He wants our mind to be set on his word, and that creates our desires. And now then, God can give us the very desires of our heart. I mean, what is it you want? I mean, after all, there isn't anything this world could ever give me, not one thing, that could measure up to knowing that God loves me. Absolutely. So I just want to encourage you tonight, you guys, listen, this renewing of the mind is a process. It's a process, and we got to go through it daily. It's in the word daily, in prayer daily. It's not because those are the relationship we have with God. It's because we're trying to maintain a relationship and keep it alive and keep it active. So we talk to God. We hear his word. We spend time with other people, and we catch the things from them that something other than a cold. Maybe we can catch something about the kingdom. Something about God, something about a relationship with Jesus, or how to be a husband or a father or mother or a wife or a child or whatever. We can learn that by being around other people that love Jesus. And over a period of time, we become transformed to the point that now there's no double-mindedness. We're focused. We have a mind that's set on God. And what we have is we have what 2 Corinthians calls the mind of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I want that. You know what? I don't care if anybody thinks I'm smart. I'm not really all that concerned if anybody thinks I'm a good preacher. I don't really care a whole lot about whether or not I'm real successful in this world's standards or not. You know what I care about? I care about that I walk with the mind of Christ. Because when I do, then all those other things will be taken care of. And success isn't based on numbers. It's not based on the lack of them or having them. Success is not based upon how much you do or don't do, how much you know or don't know. Success in the Christian life is, do I have the mind of Christ? If I'm a Christian, I want to think like he thinks. I want to act like he acts. And when you meet me, I want you to know that you have met one of God's kids, one of Jesus' brothers. Hebrews says he will never be ashamed to call you brothers or sisters for you gals. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is never ashamed to call you brother or sister. Ever been ashamed of somebody? The God of the universe, Jesus Christ, his son, says he'll never be ashamed to call you brother. That's pretty powerful. And so I want that. I want the mind of Christ. So honestly, if you want to know what my intentions are in life, what I do, what I spend my time doing, is I want to fill my mind and my heart so much with God's word by the power of his spirit that when I speak, it's as though he's speaking. When I touch, it's as though he's touching. When I reach out, it's like he's reaching out. I want his power to flow through me. I want to be a conduit of his power. See, I was talking to this guy from Pakistan today, and he wants me to come to Pakistan and preach, which most of you know I have a great heart for India, and that's kind of a weird deal. But he just keeps asking me, would you come and preach in Pakistan? Would you come and help us bring Bibles and help us? We're trying to reach people. And he began to tell me that people, you know, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, and, you know, all that, which is great. You know, I just thought when I listened to them, I thought, you know, God, I want to just be able to lay my hands on sick people and they get recovered like they do when I'm in India, like they used to do in early ministry. I want to see people really, you know, I want to be able to walk up to people that want to be filled with the Spirit and speak in a new language. And I want to lay hands on them and just see that come out of their mouth like that. Not because they have striving or straining I just want to be so filled with the power of God that everything that we ask for, he just does because he wants to, because he loves us. 2 weeks ago, the power of God, the glory of the Lord came upon our church in such a nice way on a Sunday morning. It was a powerful experience to me. And I love those times, and I don't expect any kind of deal every time we're together or anything. It's not like I have some great expectations, but I love those times. But you know what? You know what really sparked that? What sparked that was a preparedness for a moment. But what really caused it to spark, because it takes two things to make something spark, is that all of a sudden in the midst of that sermon, right in the middle of it, I could sense this deep desire to respond. It was like, I want this. It was like there was this expectancy that rose up in our congregation. Maybe you couldn't feel that. Maybe you didn't know it. Maybe you didn't even sense it. But there was a change. It was like an atmosphere change. It's like, you know, it was like that. And all of a sudden, there was this openness that came. And so what I had prepared for the next week, I said it right then because I knew that that was the moment God had designed that for. And even though in my mind, I thought it was going to be the next week, and I had planned it that way, being prepared for the moment when God speaks to you through you to other people, it ushers in the possibility of God's glory on our life. And so what does that mean to you? Well, we need to be prepared, don't we? Be prepared with the word. Know what God's word says. Know how to lead somebody to Jesus. Know how to help people find things in the scripture. Be aware. Make your Bible messy. Mark it up, you know. I don't use my Bible. This Bible is my preaching Bible. I have a lot of study Bibles that I mark in. I keep this one fairly clean, except for in Romans. But, you know, don't have a clean Bible. Have a dirty Bible. I mean, have it messed up, you know. Get your fingerprints all over it and stuff like that. And mark that thing up and use, what do you call them things? Those highlighters, and mark things in there and you know, go through there. And when all of a sudden God tells you something in the service, it may not even have anything to do with my sermon or Pastor Ken's sermon or John or whoever. All of a sudden you just read something even off the side a little bit from where we're at. Mark it. God's saying something to you. That's why when people come up to me after church, they'll say, "Pastor Ron, such a good sermon. I just loved it when you said such and such and such. I know I didn't say that." And I go, "Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you." And I'm like, "I didn't say that, you know." But God did. That's all that really matters, isn't it? So be prepared. Be in the word. Know what it says. Have places marked. You want to know how to lead somebody to Jesus? Mark the scriptures you need for it. Well, it's real simple. You know, and it's Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 10. Then you can go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's just simple. It's not that hard. You can go to John. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Just mark those places. Mark them all in red or something so that you know that's the gospel. And then when you are with somebody and they need to receive Christ, you know how to do it. Or maybe God's using you in other ways to touch people. Just be prepared in the word. And then all of a sudden what you'll notice when you're prepared as God's servant, what you'll notice is all of a sudden there's a moment that there's a receptivity and you sense it. And you just begin to prepare it. You say what you've prepared, what you've been prepared to do. And God does the work. And you walk away going, "Wow, that was really cool." I mean, I don't know how many people in here has never led somebody to Jesus before. But it is the most incredible spiritual experience that there is. I can't think of any other spiritual experience that I've ever had. And I've done a lot of crazy things for God. But I don't know of anything that excites me more than walking through the scriptures with somebody that's becoming a new believer and praying that simple little prayer: "Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you were buried and that you rose from the dead. I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I choose you, Jesus, today to save me from my sin. Cover me with your blood. And make me a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Let the old things be gone and new things come. And so that today I can have a brand new beginning in the person of Jesus Christ." And just let them repeat that little prayer or some prayer like that. That's mine. But just pray a little prayer like that and let them repeat it after you. And let God do the transformation. It's amazing. It will absolutely knock your socks off. Anybody ever done it in here? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like you walk away from there, you feel like you're about 10 foot tall. And for a guy that's 5'8", that's really cool. Okay? Because I'm never tall. And so I just want to tell you, have a transformed mind means being prepared in the word, always. Just being in the word and daily. I love that we can do that together and share it with other people. Best way I've ever learned to keep the word in me is share it with somebody else. Just say it out loud. If you mess it up, try it again. I mean, doesn't matter. Just keep trying until you get it right. And do your best to be a good representative of the Lord Jesus. And that's what transformation is about. It'll transform your life, and then you'll become a conduit of transformation to others. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to go because my back surgery and stuff and arthritis junk they say I have. I have to go to a doctor every so often to get my medicines refilled, which I don't use very much of. But the doctor, she was a nurse and she became a doctor in nursing, so she's now a doctor, Susan. I used to call her Susan, now I have to call her doctor or something. So, you know, she deserves it. She earned it, man, I'll tell you. But anyway, she's really a nice lady. And she says to me yesterday, I went to the doctor, and So we were just talking about life, you know, how you doing, how you feeling. Because, you know, if you're taking pain meds and stuff, they're always going to ask you how you're feeling about yourself and how you, you know, getting along with everybody. Are you biting anybody's head off or anything like that? So not more than once a day. You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, we're talking. I was really feeling pretty good yesterday, as the day before, as my last day of 55. So, you know, I was feeling pretty good. And so anyway, she said, have you ever read Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale? Now, you know, you can have whatever feelings you want about that. But for me, it's like eating a donut. I mean, there's some good things in there. I mean, I've read a few, seen a few quotes in there that I liked, but it's like eating a donut. It's like sweet and it goes down and then you don't know anymore. So I said, well, no, you know what? I've read a lot of quotes from it, but I don't remember all the words I said, but just, I said, you know what? I just need something a little more meaty than that. I'm going to spend time in God's word, something much deeper than that. She, in her mind, she's trying to help me, but the truth is that in that moment, I was able to give her the gospel, like in that long. Now, she changed the subject, which is fine, but you know what? A seed has been planted. And I think that's that preparedness is what I'm talking about, is just being ready on the moment. You can say it quickly. You may not get the response you want that time. Don't worry about that. Just be renewed in your mind so much and be so filled with the word that just comes out naturally. I didn't say anything ugly about, I didn't say the thing about the donut deal about Norman Vincent Peale. I'm saying that to you. But I said, you know, I've read a few quotes from it, but really I need something much deeper than that. I need something, it's more than about thinking positive. It's really about knowing the person of Jesus Christ in your heart and having him as your Savior and Lord. That's what I said. And so I think we have those moments and we got to take advantage of them. But if you're not prepared, you know what you're going to do? Well, no, I've never read that book. That's the end of it. So take those opportunities to speak the word of God faithfully to people wherever.